This is WJOI's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning, and today we're going to continue Pastor Ken Fuchs's discussion about Islam.
So this way, these two groups would be acceptance of this Mahdi that in the scriptures we call the Antichrist. And he will come into existence. They say that Jesus will come with him and tell everybody, look, I've been to see Allah, and Allah straightened me out, and the Mahdi is who we need to follow, and you need to convert to Islam, and if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Well, that also speaks to the Battle of Armageddon, what's going to take place in the Middle East during the tribulation period. And so since they see that their Jesus in the Bible is a confidant to the Mahdi, then that's how they perceive him. He is not the same Christ that we as Christians see in the Bible. He is a totally different being in the Quran. And this Mahdi is going to come in, and he is going to be a destroyer, just as it talks about in Revelations. He's the first half of tribulation. It talks about what a good guy he is and how he brings peace to the Middle East, and the only way that you're ever going to have peace is that the Arabs will agree that the nation of Israel has a right to stand. And it talks about this in Revelation, that they are feeling secure now. The walls are down. In other words, there's no one, their standing army is kind of at rest. And much like the 67 war, where there was a surprise attack on them, the same thing the Yom Kippur war, they were in celebration and the Egyptians attacked them. This is going to be the way it is at the 3.5 year point during the tribulation, and then the great tribulation begins, where the persecution begins, and this is where the Mahdi is going to go around killing anyone who calls himself a Christian, anyone who calls himself a Jew. In fact, the Quran says that the rocks will cry out and the trees will cry out, come, kill the Jew who's hiding behind me. So We see this. The Quran talks about how they're not to take Christians and Jews as friends, how they are to make war wherever they find them. They talk about, and this we noticed when Trump was in, our president was in the Middle East and spoke to all the Arab nations, and he said they had to clean their house. They had to drive them out, these radicals, which are really fundamentalists. He's saying that they have to do that in order to have peace. When an Arab Muslim speaks of peace, what he's talking about is the world is now all Islamic. Then there's peace. In Islam, there are two houses, the house of war, which is where they're trying to bring Islam into the world, and then there's the house of peace, that which they've already conquered. It's Dal al-Har, which is war. These are the things that they look at. So when we talk about peace, there's two different definitions, and we have to understand that. So when you listen to the commentators on TV and radio, they don't even understand this. They don't have the, in my opinion, listening to them, they don't have a clue what Islam is all about. When they talk about it as a religion of peace, bear in mind, it is not. It is called a religion of the sword, for the very reason it is. When Islam started moving across North Africa, North Africa was primarily Christian. And they set up in Cairo, what is today Cairo, a citadel, so that they could watch the capital, which was Alexandria of Egypt. And if you believed in Islam, you were spared. If you didn't, you paid a heavy tax, or they took your life. And so not to pay the tax and to stay alive, they converted. And they moved right across North Africa into Spain. In fact, the Jews of Spain are not Ashkenazi Jews, which are European Jews, but Sephardic Jews, which come out of the Middle East. And so this transition, at that time, the Jews were like a conduit that could connect East and West. They were free to travel, whereas Christians could not. That's what the Crusade was all about. And people don't realize that the Crusaders were going out to protect the Christians. In fact, what is Constantinople today, or Istanbul, at that time was Constantinople. And the leader, that was the Eastern Empire of Rome. They went to the Pope and said, hey, we need help. How about so we can fend off this Muslims that are coming against us, these Arabs? And it was the Turks, the Ottoman Turks, that came out of what is known as Alatolia, which is a plain in today's Turkey. And they were the ones that overcame them eventually. And that happened in the 1400s, and then in the 1500s they were coming against Vienna, and that's what allowed the Reformation to take such form, was because when they came against Vienna, all of Germany at the time, the Teutonic Knights and so forth, they had to come together. And so they said, okay, if you want to be followers of Martin Luther, fine. We will agree to that. And they set up a peace treaty, and they were able to keep the Muslims out of Vienna. In fact, that's a little piece of trivia. That's where we get the croissant from, because the Duchess of Vienna was celebrating this fact, and it was a baker who heard them tunneling in and was able to stop it. They honored that baker by making the crescent roll. It didn't come from France. It came from Vienna. And so, and also in Europe, they were stopped by Charlemagne's grandfather at Toulouse, France, and were pushed back. And they sued for peace, and they showed up wearing silk scarves, and we get the necktie from that. So when they say the Arabs have contributed to Western civilization, yes, because they were so violent and stopping things. It was the East-West trade that was taking place along the Silk Road and the Spice Road was stopped when they conquered Constantinople and changed it to Istanbul. Therefore, Columbus was seeking a new way. And so we can thank him for that. And in doing so, he opened up this country, which allowed the Jews in 1492 to come to America. They were kicked out of Spain in 1492. Columbus sailed in 1492, established America. And when you think about it, in the United States, as colonies, 10% of the population was Jewish. 10% of the population was here as Jews to practice their faith. This is one of the reasons we have freedom of religion. Our religious liberty is based on the fact that our founding fathers did not have freedom in Europe. They had to comply with the state religion, and that, like in England, it was the Anglican Church or the Church of England. Scotland had the Church of Scotland. France was all Catholic. And in Germany, you had minor sects that came out of Lutheranism that said, this is not what we think it should be. And they also traveled, like the Huguenots and the Anabaptists, which I stem out of, by the way. We trace our heritage as Baptists back to the Anabaptists. All of these folks came here for that very reason. I would like to say this in conclusion, that we as Christians need to pray for our nation, that God would return us to the foundations that our forefathers laid. They got together when Washington was sworn in at a little church at the very foot of Wall Street, and they dedicated the nation to his service. and they called on God to bless the nation, very much the way Solomon did when he dedicated the temple. We need to be mindful of that. We need to understand that things like abortion and same-sex marriage and taking the Ten Commandments or God out of the public square, this is the erosion of the very foundation of this nation. And we need to think about that, and we need to be prayerful. I would encourage every believer to pray earnestly for God's protection across this land and to return us to our foundation. If it's not the case, we will lose it. I would thank you for this opportunity to speak to you.
This has been WJOI's Lamplighter Program, and I'm Howard Gunning, and thanks for making us a part of your day.